Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got some Florida folks sitting on the side of our screen. What's the weather? What's the weather like right down there right now?
Really nice.
Really nice.
That's all I need to hear is really nice.
They have their ceiling fan on and everything. Like they're sitting in heat. Do you want to know? Okay, I don't know how well you guys know Celsius, and I'm really bad with the Fahrenheit.
Why would they need to know Celsius?
Because that's the only way I know how to tell them how cold it is here right now. With our wind chill this morning when we were getting the kids ready for school, it felt like minus 10 degrees Celsius.
Do you want to know what that is in Fahrenheit?
Yeah, Mark's gonna convert it for you. I don't know Fahrenheit at all. Like when someone says to me it's it's 80 something degrees, I'm like, is that really hot? Is that a little bit hot? Like I have no idea.
It's about 80 to 85 degrees here.
You're talking minus 10 is 14 Fahrenheit.
14 Fahrenheit. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Wow.
I wish everyone could see Kelly's face right now. She's like, ooh, I don't think I ever want to come visit you guys in person. I get it.
Yeah. Did you guys come to Florida? I know last time you were saying you were trying to come down and visit.
So we were supposed to be there actually this past weekend, and our trip got moved to January. Our flights are booked. We will be there in mid-January.
Yeah, we'll be in Orlando for, I don't know, like 2-3 days, I think.
It's a really quick trip. We get there like on a Wednesday night, and we're out of there early Saturday morning. It's really quick just to check out some stuff.
Right on.
Yeah, so should we actually start and introduce our guest?
Yeah, why not? Sounds like a good idea.
All right, well,
on a podcast.
Yeah. It's Monday morning, so we're just getting going. Hey everyone, it's Amanda. We've got Kelly and Kobe on the other side of our Zoom. As you now already know, they're in Florida, and you may recognize Kelly from a previous episode. She is the person that we talked to with one of her staff, Holly, about casino massage. So she is one of the owners, and Kobe's the other one, of Winning Hands, and you've probably also seen them on our publication section and in Massage Therapy Media Magazine. These two have done some really cool stuff with casino massage in the States. And, you know, things are probably very different from when we spoke to them last. They've got some updates, but they also just wanted to have another chat about casino massage because since Kelly's been on the podcast, people are reaching out to her saying like, didn't know this was an option. And it's helping to get more jobs for massage therapists. So welcome back, Kelly, and welcome, Kobe. We didn't get you the first time.
Thanks.
So why don't we reintroduce you guys?
I was surprised at how many people in Florida listen to your podcast. I was very surprised by that.
Well, you found us, didn't you?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So after we did the last one, I had a ton of people come and want to work, which is amazing because I was really struggling with hiring at that point. And now, you know, we have a wait list of therapists that want to get on. And I even have been referring them to other casino massage companies because, you know, there's just only so many ones that I can hire.
That's really cool.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. And I also had a lot of Canadian therapists reach out and ask me how to start this in Canada.
Sweet.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, good luck. Because it's really hard.
I wonder if John the Superfan was one of those. Well, I think you talked to John every once in a while on socials. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he worked in a casino.
He used to be a dealer.
He was a dealer. Like Kobe, for anyone who doesn't know, I'll let them introduce themselves. But the way these two met, Kobe was a poker dealer, and now he's the business side of Winning Hands.
I'm a sucker for a good rom-com, so I need to know the story.
It's true.
I want to hear how you guys met.
It was actually at the Hard Rock in Tampa. I was a poker dealer and she was one of the massage therapists that used to walk around all the time. But I've been at the time already, I was 15 years into dealing. And, you know, I was just one of those goofy guys. I always used to mess around at the table and make everybody laugh. And, you know, Kelly noticed, I guess. And I kind of asked her out for about probably around, I don't know, a few years, I think. And nothing ever panned out until one day, you know, she finally said, yeah, you know what, let's go out.
Kelly,
and,
Kelly,
we hit it up.
Kelly,
you wore
what,
it down,
what
eh?
Took you so long, Kelly?
Honestly, I'm a serial relationship kind of person. So I was always in a relationship when Kobe was asking to hang out. And I was like, I don't think I should hang out with you. I think you're attractive. I have a boyfriend. I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, so you were into him, though.
Yeah, I was. But, you know, you know, when you have a boyfriend, you got to kind of not do stuff like that. And, you know, the part that Kobe kind of left out, too, is I was in a very abusive, kind of shitty relationship at the time. And Kobe got me out of it and oh, wow. told me that I was worth more than that and really helped, like, kick him out of my home. It was a really dramatic kind of time. Our lives. Yeah.
We just like surpassed rom-com here. Like this movie just got serious. Wow. But you know what I love that you said, Kobe, that you were like the goofy guy always kind of like entertaining people. I like made this joke with my kids during COVID because I saw it on Facebook. I think I even reposted it on Facebook that was like, I've made a lot of shitty decisions in my life, but like marrying the fun, entertaining guy has been the best thing for me during lockdowns. Like we just had fun for like weeks on end when like the world opened back up again and we had to go back to work. We're like, oh, but then I was like, oh, wait, I work with you. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah. So we've always worked together and, you know, we've always had a great relationship. And then, you know, we always talked about building an app and we thought, you know, why don't we just do it? Why don't we start an app? And I kept working as a dealer while we were building the app. Kelly was still working as a massage therapist. And then, you know, a couple of years into it, we pitched a couple of companies and, you know, they all said they wanted it. Well, one company said they wanted it. And then when the time came, they said no. So that was when we pivoted into becoming an actual massage company.
Yeah, originally our idea was to just sell our app to companies that were already in operation, but that did not go as well as we thought it was going to go. So we had to pivot, which worked out better.
Can we do like a quick recap of the business? Like for anybody who didn't hear your first podcast, Kelly, can you guys introduce the company a little bit, what it is, how it works, like, you know, your roles in there, and then, yeah, we'll get going from there. Cause I'm sure there's some people saying like, I don't understand. What are you guys even talking about? What app?
So Winning Hands is our company. We are a casino massage company, a gaming massage company. So basically we contract massage therapists to provide chair massage services to guests of casinos and poker rooms while they play actively. We also have developed an app where the therapists can track their minutes and their commission and everything. And the players can order massages through the app, kind of like Uber. They can see all of the therapists that are on site and pick which one they want, let them know where they are in the casino. Just makes everything way more streamlined and easy to manage.
So we're the only company in the world that actually offers that kind of service. Like there's no app where you can go on site to the casino to our app and see the therapist on site and order them in real time. Yeah. And everything is tracked. So we have complete transparency with the casino as well.
And other companies, the therapists kind of have to walk around and find their own clients, which they do that with us as well. But there is also the option of the booking so that you never miss a client.
But right now, as it is, everything is written down on a piece of paper. So it's just very inefficient.
And other companies.
Why do you think the app was not well received when you guys were pitching that around? Because it sounds like a fabulous idea to me.
For some reason, their answer was they don't want us to know how many minutes. They don't want us tracking their minutes, which we weren't really privy to. You know, obviously, if there was an issue, a bug issue or something, we'd have to, you know, go into the app. But every company told us the same thing. We don't want you tracking our minutes.
Kelly, you were the massage therapist on the floor walking around trying to get clients, right? So just being that you have actually like been the therapist, tell me like the pros and cons or like how you've seen or how you think this has improved for therapists. I'm sure you and Holly went over this on our last recording, but like Mark said, this just sounds like so much easier. Like instead of walking around trying to find people that want massage, they're telling you where they are so you can just go there. It just seems to make so much sense to me.
Especially in large casinos. No more walking.
Yeah. As a therapist in casinos, you do a lot of walking, especially in big casinos like the Hard Rock. So it's tiring. It's exhausting. And also there's a little bit of cattiness in a lot of casinos because there'll be big high limit players that tip really well. And it's kind of you got to get there before the other girl does or the other therapist does. So that's a problem. So this way, you know, our high limit clients in our casino, they all use the app. So there's no question about who they want. If they want you, they're going to book with you. It's not who gets there first. It's not, oh, you stole my client. Like they are booking you because they want you. And it really like gets rid of most of the cattiness that comes with this kind of industry because everyone's competing for money on the floor. And so it can get really dramatic sometimes.
Not with us.
Yeah, but not with us. We also pay higher than the Florida industry standard, which I think is really great for the therapists as well. Instead of getting 40%, they're getting 50%, which makes a big difference. That 10% is a big difference.
Absolutely. When you guys first started off doing this, did you have the app in operation? Or is that something you added on to it as you went through? Like you started off the idea of we're going to pitch this app and we're going to, you know, sell it or have membership or however that model went. That went away really fast. When you were doing the casino massage though, were you using the app in that time or was it that, you know, you're having to deal with therapists that are fighting for the high roller?
So when we pitched the company, you know, one of the existing companies already, I pitched them basically just on pictures of what the app was going to be like. And then 3 months later, 2 months later, COVID hit. And we continued to build the app through COVID. And then when we got back to them, you know, they told us they didn't want it. We were about 90% of the way done. We still had a lot of bugs. We still needed to use it in a live scenario and, you know, really test it out. And they didn't even want to let us do that. And every other company we kept going to just told us no. So when we pitched the Harris Pompano's where we're at now, we almost started using the app. We started originally on papers because it was still very buggy. But within, I think it took us maybe about 2 months, and then we started using the app. And then I started building a backend data analytics system for the casino that correlates with our app. So everything is accounted for. Literally, I can tell you what time, where the therapist did the massage, at what time, how long, everything. And it's all recorded for them in their own thing. So there's no paper. It's all emailed, receipts and all.
Yeah. Building an app is really difficult if you don't have the means of testing it on a big scale. Because we had the app and it worked like on our phones. It didn't work as well on Android phones. So we had to fix that. There were just a million things that there would be no way for us to build this app, I don't think, without the support of either another casino massage company or having our own casino massage company where we can get real feedback from players, real feedback from therapists, and fix all the little bugs and things that you would never catch if it wasn't live doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. So you guys were kind of forced to start using it so you could be your own testers, right? Now that you've been doing it for some time, all the other companies that were kind of like, no thanks. You think they're kicking themselves? Has anybody reached out to you to say like, how do we get on board? Or is like that door closed now?
I mean, we've had some companies that seem interested. The problem now is that now we are their competition.
Right.
So that puts a different layer on, you know, we're giving them our technology. And also, you know, that's the technology that makes us different from other companies and makes us, you know, valuable to casinos that want to see all of this data. You know, so I don't know if they're kicking themselves. It's complicated.
At the end of the day, look, we won't be able to get every casino out there. But, you know, eventually I think we will be able to white label it and have their own way of using our system and probably charge a monthly fee for the actual therapist, or maybe just every therapist be able to use it wherever they are and just have some sort of fee where they can use it within their casino and just distribute, you know, cards or whatever and let, you know, players know that they can be ordered within the app so they don't have to give out their information.
Yeah. But the fact that we're their competition, I think, makes it a little bit weird for them to want to, you know, accept our technology now.
This is incredibly innovative. And like Kelly, you were saying, building an app is really difficult if you don't have the ability to do large scale testing. I mean, you could have ended that sentence at building an app is really difficult. Like I'm listening to you guys and wondering, like, I can see how sometimes somebody might have like this idea, like, oh, imagine if there was an app for that. I mean, these days there's an app for everything. Like, wouldn't it be great if there was an app for that? So Kobe, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you were the one to have the thought of like, imagine if we could streamline this with the app, because you watched this from behind the poker table, right? You watched what was happening and how much easier it could be. When you thought we should build an app, like, was this like I'm going to figure out how to do this, I'm doing this no matter what? Or was this like a fleeting thought and then, you know, suddenly things start to, like, tell me how this happens. Like, how do you even know where to start in building an app? Like, I could see myself saying something like that and then nothing ever happening.
Yeah. So that's actually quite an interesting story when we first started. You know, I knew nothing about building an app. I knew nothing about coding. I've never. So everybody I spoke to thought it was a great idea. I see the players all the time. So when I was dealing, 90% of the time, the therapist would walk by, they'd say massage. And, you know, 5 seconds later, the guy will be like, oh, I haven't seen a massage therapist in an hour. I'm like, dude, she was right here five seconds ago. You know, she said massage and you were just in a hand. You weren't, you know, you didn't hear, you know. And that when I suggested an app, everybody said it was great idea. We'd love it. We'd use it. Okay. So we actually originally we took out a very high interest loan to because we really believed in it. And we found a coder on Upwork, one of the
freelance sites.
And we ended up 3 months into it. He's building it. He's showing us everything we want to see. We've already paid him $7,500 within the 3 months. And on the third month, you know, things aren't working. Something doesn't seem right. He won't FaceTime me. He won't, you know, like something doesn't add up to me. Says he's in Orlando, Florida. And come to find out, I told him, hey, just, you know what, send me the code. You know, I want to see the code. And he sent it to me. And, you know, I don't know how to read code. So I went to a coding school in Miami called WinCode. I gave it to them. They looked at it. They said, there's nothing here, man. This is all dummy code. I go, what do you mean? He goes, there's nothing here. Mm. It's nothing.
It's junk.
It's junk.
So this guy was just like full of shit from the beginning?
He was
like,
full of shit the whole time.
And he was in China.
I ended up finding out he was in China. And, you know, we had another $2,500 in escrow. Luckily, I didn't release that. We caught him, you know, doing that, but they wouldn't give me the money back. It was our mistake for, you know, releasing the money.
Yeah.
But like, we don't know, you know, like he's showing me everything I want to see, right? You know, like I don't know, you know, and it's kind of working, kind of not. And I just had like a lot of suspicion. And, so I, after losing that 75, we only took a loan out for like 16 grand. 7,500 of it has now gone. I went back to that coding school. I talked to them. They said, you can pitch your idea to 30 students at like 9 a.m.
And alumni.
And, you know, all these kids that are about to graduate or graduated. So, all right. So I went over there. I pitched it knowing, again, nothing. I had no idea. Some guy pitched in front of me and he's talking like, he sounds like a genius. And I have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm sweating bullets, you know, and I told him my idea. Everybody, you know, kind of looked at me weird and, you know, don't know really how to help me. But I found one guy I actually found a UX UI designer, which is basically a guy that just designs the layout. And he hooked me up with Livio. And ever since then, Livio is our CTO now, and he's been working with us. I offered him 10% of our business for helping us out, you know, until we get launched, you know, so I basically didn't pay him anything.
Right.
And he believed in us, and he's been with us for the last 4 years now.
Nice.
Almost. And yeah, now we actually we're in negotiations with another casino, and hopefully his hard work's finally going to pay off. He's about to get a piece of that.
Yay, you're expanding. That's almost redemption for the guy in China who took half of your loan. Almost.
Yeah, that was really bad. Because as people that don't know anything about apps, it's really difficult to hire somebody to do something that you have no idea how to do yourself in any capacity. We even tried to learn how to code in the beginning. We were like, we'll just code it ourselves. We'll figure this out.
Took us 8 hours to write Hello World.
Yeah.
guys, listen, my children who are in elementary school, like they start teaching coding to kids now in like grade one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very basic, like it's games mostly so that they understand the concept behind coding. And even trying to help my daughter in like grade two with her coding homework, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like this didn't exist in the 80s and 90s. Like you're on your own, child. I cannot help you. So I completely understand. When that was all going down, Kobe, you said you had some suspicion. When this was all happening, was there ever a point where you were like,
Fuck it.
Like we just lost literally like half of the money that we borrowed. We're not getting this back. Like, was there a point ever that you were like, okay, maybe we're not doing
this? Especially because the app streamlines everything, but it's not a necessity to make the business run.
Yeah.
So was there that point of like, oh shit, let's just eat that loss and let's just go at it a different
way. Carry on.
Fortunately for me, I'm very stubborn. So, you know, I didn't want to take the loss, you know, and the fact that I was able to pull somebody to start working, he found me developers in the Philippines, then he found me developers in India, you know, like we were able to get stuff moving and, you know, without having to pay as much, I was still able to work, you know, Kelly was still able to work. We haven't, you know, it was a big hit for us, don't get me wrong, and it took us more time, but at the end of the day, you know, I didn't want, everybody said it was a great idea. And I really believed in it. Like I still, you know, like, and here we are. Like Kelly couldn't believe it. She did never wanted to quit her. She's like, I can't, how am I going to quit? How do we know this is going to support us? Like, you know, cause the first couple months were rough when we first got the contract.
Right.
Like Kelly, you can quit. Even we were working, she was working at both places still while we had the contract, because, you know, it took us a long time to find the therapist, get everybody, you know, the company was still building back up. COVID had just cleared out. Everybody's still wearing masks. You know, it was rough. It was really, really hard. But, you know, I
had those moments. I had moments where I'm like, this is stupid. There's no like guarantee that this app is going to make us any money, that anyone's going to want it. I had those moments all the time. But luckily, Kobe is the more stubborn kind of business forward minded person in our relationship. So he's the one that was like, well, we can't, like, we're not going to give up on this.
But you need both of you, like as another husband and wife duo over here, where like, you know, you guys are similar to us in that all your eggs go into one basket, right? Like when you guys are working together and you're building a business together, if that business fails, like there's no other partner to say, don't worry, I still have a job. So I understand, because we've gone through those moments too. And Mark always talks about, with all of our entrepreneur guests, he always talks to them about the moment of no return, right? And I mean, I'll let him talk about that a little bit, but it's, you know, you get to a point where it's like, that's it. Like I've put so much time, blood, sweat, tears, energy, resources, all my effort has gone into this. Like I'm doing this one way or another. And like Kelly, there's moments where when we're doing things, I will look at him and say, you know, with this whole massage therapy media thing, like Kelly, you know, because you and I have talked a little bit, like when you were doing some writing for me, like there's times where it's so much extra work on top of everything else I do. And there's times where I look at him like, are we out of our bloody minds? Like what are we thinking, taking on something
the
like this?
Yes.
But once we hit that point of no return, like we're doing this, you know, it's been launched to the world. And like Kobe kept saying, everyone kept telling us like, this is a good idea, guys. Like this makes a lot of sense. Therapists will like it. Therapists will use this. Keep going. And so we keep going. But I'm really happy you guys are talking about the real side of it too, is that it's not sunshine and rainbows. It's not like you start a business, you start making money right away. In fact, most of the time, all you're doing is throwing all of your money into the business. Like there's times where like I think, well, shit, like can we take some of this home now? No, not yet. Okay. Yeah. All right, then.
I'm still doing handyman jobs. Like I do handyman jobs on the side as well. So I don't use the money from the business. Like I want to have my own money also. But, you know, so I, till this day, I'm doing, if you see what I'm wearing, you know, this is only the top half. I changed my shirt just because I came straight from a handyman job to come and do this interview, you know, like. It's tough, you know. We're not making millions. We're on the road to success, but it takes time. It takes a lot of hard work, and we barely see each other, you know. But I know at the end of the day, it's all going to pay off. It's just a matter of time.
It does take time, and I'm sure there's times, you know, if Kelly is anything like me, and the reason I said you need both Kelly is because if Kobe is anything like Mark, sometimes I have to remind Mark that yes, we need to work hard, and the first few years of starting a business are hard, and we also barely see each other. It's funny when like we can say that and people think like, what do you mean? Because like we do these podcasts together, so what? A couple hours a week, we're sitting together in a room. Usually, he's working on something. We're not together. We don't see each other. We're both working, but we need us to sometimes tell these dudes like, you can take a break. You don't have to be working on this right now at 2 a.m. Step back, take a break, rest a bit, come back with fresh eyes later, because these guys just want to go, 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 because they see that, yeah, in 5 years, you guys are going to be like, thank God we put all that work in 5 years ago. And, you know, us in 5 years are going to be like, thank God we killed ourselves 5 years ago. But it's a lot.
Sometimes fresh eyes for me, they're not a thing, though. Like for,
I know.
Yeah. I sometimes putting this down for a little bit and coming back to it, at least for me, a lot of the time that makes it a little bit worse. I got to get it out when I'm in the moment. And as long as that takes, then that's what it takes.
The only time I recommend Mark to take a break ever is if he's about to start something, you know, that like those moments where he's like, oh, I should really do this. And he's about to start something. And I'll look at his calendar. I'm like, you don't start work tomorrow until 12 o'clock. Start this thing tomorrow at 9 a.m. Rest now. Rest now.
But if I do this now,
see you.
It's just the way I operate. I find it easier just to keep going when I'm going, because I have a hard time when I'm off to turn myself back on.
Oh yeah, he had this past weekend off. I'll let you guys all know a little secret.
I did.
Mark
nothing.
Had this past weekend off. I have never seen somebody do less than what he did. Like yesterday, I don't even know. Midway through the day, he looks at me. He's literally laying in bed. Yep. Watching like Rush videos on his iPad. Yep. There's televisions all over the house, by the way. And he's watching Rush videos on his iPad.
I wanted something up close.
And he like puts it on pause and he turns to me and he goes, has everybody else like showered and brushed their teeth today? I'm like, it's 1 o'clock. Yeah, we have.
when I'm in do nothing mode, man, I stay there. I saw, what's the guy's name that plays Joey from Friends? I saw him in an interview. And he,
Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, and he was answering that question. Like, someone was like, what's the ultimate job you ever want to have? He's like, I want to do nothing. Like, and I'm great at doing nothing. I can't wait to have that as my job. And I'm like, yeah, that's the idea. That's why I work so hard with all this nonsense, because I want a day where I can wake up and just fucking do nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Well, I mean, I want that on a consistent basis where I can just do whatever the hell I want all day long, every day for the rest of my days. That type of thing.
Sounds exactly like me.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is Kobe doesn't have day, like if he's laying down, I'm like, wow, what are you doing?
It happens like four times a year. That's why it is really funny to watch. Like I said, my favorite part of yesterday, I had to take my kids to Dollarama. We put up our Christmas tree. For those of you who think it's too early, I don't care. We put up our Christmas tree yesterday and there was just something missing from it. I said, I want to go to Dollarama. I want something to go here. Anyway, not important. I'm sure Mark wouldn't have cared about it at all. Nope. But I go into the bedroom and he's laying down. And I was like, I'm going to go to Dollarama and I'm going to bring the kids with me. Do you want to come? He's like, do I have to put on real pants? I'm like, no. He goes, do I have to get out of the car? I go, no. He's like, all right, I'll come. So he drove us there, dropped us in front of the door because he just kept his track pants on. I don't even think he put on shoes. I think he put on like Crocs. Like he drove us to Dollarama like the moms who do morning drop off. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
But it's Monday. Now you're back to work. Anyway, I was saying I don't know if you want to talk to them about the whole moment of no return.
What I want to know with the app is how often do you guys find that you have to do updates on the app? How often do you feel like there's other features that you want to put into it? Or is it kind of like one of these things where it's all thought out already. It's already laid out and there really isn't much more that's going to happen to it. Or is there constantly things that are changing on it?
I think if you have an app, anybody that has an app, it's a work in progress all the time. There are no apps that stay consistently the same all the time. If they do, they die. So we are constantly updating things. The other day we had the World Series of Poker. Our CTO came in, talked to all of the therapists, found out what they like about it, what's not working for them, what they would like to see. So we are constantly making changes, constantly working out bugs. During WSOP, it crashed for 5 hours, which has never happened ever. And it was just offline because we were trying to fix things while it was operational. And it was
how stressful is that for you guys?
Oh, it was so stressful. It's stressful because we can't do anything. We have a team that we have to rely on to fix these things. And I think that's what Kobe has the biggest problem with too. He's always made his own money with his own hands. And to rely on even the therapists to bring in the revenue is really difficult for Kobe. And having the developer team too is really difficult for both of us because we can't control what happens most of the time. You know, we give them what we need done and hopefully they get it done the way we need to and we'll continue to make it better. You know, we're always thinking about adding like rewards into the app where if you get so many massages, you can get one for free or discounted. We've even thought about adding social aspects to the app because, you know, we've been reading a lot of app books and a social element to an app really makes it people use it more often. So there's a million things we could do. We also were thinking about having them pay because right now everyone pays in cash or chips. So if we could have them pay through the app, that's a whole nother layer that we could add. All of these things cost a lot of money to build and a lot of time. It's not like, oh, just do this. It's done tomorrow. It takes a long time to get things done.
Everybody thinks it's just super easy to build an app and, you know, it's not that much money, but realistically, you know, we've been doing it now for almost 4 years now. And I want to say we're about $100,000 in. you know, so it's not cheap. It's time consuming and everything moves like, I mean, extremely slow. And it just sucks because now you finally waited, you know, 3 months for an update and now there's bugs all over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just nothing's working really right. This not working now. This works, but now this doesn't work. You know, so it's just, you know, it's when you don't have the money to put a massive team on it, you know, then it just moves very slow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have expected when you just said everybody thinks building an app is easy. I'm like, who are these people? Oh, yeah. Why do they think this? Like,
app users are those people.
Yeah. I had a massage therapist call me the other day and she's like, hey, I want to build this app. And I'm like, okay, what kind of app? She's like, a massage app. And I'm like, you mean like, do you guys have Soothe and Zeal in Canada? Like those kind of on-demand mobile massage apps?
We do. Yeah. We have different ones, but yeah, we have.
Yeah. So she's like, I want to build one like that. And I'm like, okay, so what makes yours different? And she didn't have an answer. And I'm like, so why are people going to jump from that to that? And I'm like, and you know, you're going to have to put in like $100,000, probably more, because your app is very complicated. It needs geo tracking and all of these things. And then you're going to need a support team because people are going to have problems with the app and they're going to need to call somebody to figure out what's going on. All of these things. Then she was just like, oh, I didn't even think about any of these things. And I'm like, I know, because you just don't. Like, you use an app, you're like, oh, it's an app, it's done. No.
Well, especially because there is an app for everything. So I can see, I guess, how some people would be like, it can't be that hard. Everybody has an app. But there's also, like, for example, there's certain companies that allow you to like for example, I use Notero for my booking.
Okay.
It's a practice management software. I don't know. Is Notero in the States as well?
Mark? Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you guys might know Notero. But I use their app, their platform for my booking, and they've created like a way for therapists to have a branded app. So it's basically, it's still like Notero's app, but you can put your company's branding on it so that your patients can go in, they see all your stuff, and they can book through your branded app, which is really great. But you're not creating an app. You're just putting your branding on an app that was created for you by a company that's been around for a long time and probably put the hundreds of thousands of dollars into making sure that this works and fixing the bugs. And yeah, like you were saying with all the bugs and the updates and whatever. By the way, I think apps, like I think there's, I'm being punked because I think my apps only ever need to be updated when I'm in a rush and I just need to do something really fast. Then they all need to be updated because of all these bug fixes.
Yeah.
I think I'm being punked somehow.
And also, so, you know, building the app is one whole hurdle. Getting people to use it another whole problem. Yeah. It is very, people are very habitual. So to get people, even like if you wanted to jump from one app to another app, like if she had created this other Soothe or Zeal app and she wanted people to jump from the other one, why would they do that if it's exactly the same? Even we have problems where players will come up to Kobe and be like, hey, I want to get a massage. And he's like, you can use this app. And they're like, ah, I don't really want to download an app. You know what I mean? So there's so much to it that you just don't think about until you're in it. Because we were like, yeah, everyone's going to love this. It's not that easy.
It's funny though, because there are just so many apps. And I used to be the person that was very resistant to like, oh, I don't want another app. Oh, I don't. And so I get it. But in the last couple of years, I think specifically working with a certain person who like always wants everything to be the easiest, most streamlined way possible to do everything. Like if she has to be inconvenienced this much, she's not doing it. I've started to get on board with, like, for example, like if we're flying WestJet, she's like, don't you have the WestJet app so you can get points? Don't you? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So like now I have the WestJet app. So I've kind of gotten on board with that. But before, I was that person. I'm like, if I can just see the massage therapist walking on the casino floor and like wave them down, why do I need another app? But then like you guys are saying, I can see the benefit and of like, you know, if you have a therapist that you know works at this casino and you can actually look on the app, see if they're there and get them to come to you. Like to me, that's just so much easier. And if you guys are eventually going to be able to accept payments through the app, like, gold. Why would I ever not want to use that?
Yeah, because just yesterday I had a player who was like, I don't have any, he got a massage. He was like, oh, I don't have any cash. And she's like, well, you have to pay me. So she had to wait 15 minutes for him to go to the ATM, pull out cash, do all of these things. And then she didn't get a tip because he's not going to pull out extra money for her tip. So I feel like if they were able to just pay with their cards, it would just be better for the therapist in general. People could get it even if they don't have to take money off the table, which is what they don't want to do.
Do you guys tip better now that the world isn't mostly on cash? Like if you think back, I don't know, you guys are probably a lot younger than we are, but I think back to like when I used to go out for dinner and stuff and just pay cash versus now that everything's on a card and like they ask you on the machine how much you want to tip. Do you feel like people tip better now because everything's like that?
I don't know, because we don't really deal with stuff like that. We've always been crazy tippers because we've lived on tips our whole lives. So
I was in the tipping industry, right? And I didn't make, my hourly wage was only $4 an hour, you know, so my when I was a dealer, it was all tips, you know, so the funnier I was, the more tips I made, the more entertaining I was, the more money I, you know, so
I feel like people that live on tips just tip better. Yeah. And thank Canadians you. Are like, you guys have a different tipping culture, don't you? Like, do you guys pay your servers a decent wage or are they relying on tips too?
I mean, I neither of us have actually ever worked in the service industry, so I couldn't say 100% just based on what I hear on TikTok, because, you know, that's how I get my general information these days.
That's how you learn about the world.
That's how I learn TikTok. It seems as though maybe not as bad as in the States, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but that servers still are at the lower end here. I know there was definitely a time, and this may have changed, but there was definitely a time where servers didn't even make minimum wage because they would get tips. Tipping here, like, I don't know what is standard for you guys. I find that most of the time you go out here, like the options you're given for a tip is like 18%, 20% and up. Yeah. So like at a minimum, I think majority of people are tipping 18%.
Probably.
I only ever hit that 18 button if I actually thought you sucked a little.
but that is built into the thing too, right? It's human psychology. If you have to calculate 18%, you're not going to do it. You're going to do 15.
You're not going to do it.
You know, but if it's already there for you, because you can push custom and put in your own.
Of course you can.
If you want.
Of course you can.
But humans.
I don't want to math. Yeah, I don't want to do that. It's already there.
Yeah. So human psychology is just kind of like push the button, like just quick, like do it as quick as possible.
Although something I never considered until recently, and probably TikTok taught me this too, is that when you just press the button instead of putting in your custom tip, you're actually tipping on top of the tax.
Oh. Yeah,
why am I tipping on the tax? And like we get taxed, man, up the ass here. I got to start doing my own custom tips, man.
I don't know. I don't do it. I don't do any of this stuff. I just pass everything to you.
It's a bad idea. Now you're learning. It's a bad idea to pass everything to me.
Yeah.
No, but it's okay. The extra few bucks they'd make on the tax is probably worth it.
Yeah.
When you're with your app developer and you're kind of giving the app developer all the features you want on this app, is there any of these features that they're just like, this can't happen, like I can't make this work, or are you basically getting everything that you ever wanted it to
work? Yeah, so there is what they're called a UX UI designer, where you can hire and they design everything for you and make the layout, but that's too expensive, so I just drew out everything myself how I wanted it and then labeled everything on how I want it to work. And so far, they've been delivering only, you know, very, like I said, very, very slowly. It just takes forever.
Yeah, with coding, they can pretty much do anything. Our app is nothing crazy. I mean, Uber exists, Lyft exists. Yeah. So we're really not asking for anything that like has never been done before. There are definitely things where they're like, we'll say what we need them, like what we want. And they're like, and the way we want it done. And they're like, that's not the most cost-effective way to do this. The better way would be to do this. And honestly, we don't even talk to our developers because our CTO, coding is a whole different language. If you're not in it, if you don't understand it, even if I tell a developer what I want, they're not going to hear it the same way. They're not going to envision it the same way.
They're going to build it to make it the easiest way possible. They're not building it for scale, for scalability.
Right.
You know, our CTO, what he does is I tell him what I want to do and he figures out what platform we should use for scalability, what servers, what backend, and then he relays that and tells them how to build it using those methods.
And those terms.
And those, you know, platforms or whatever, those kind of, you know, for our company to grow. You know, but if you just went, like, that's what we tried. We went straight. We didn't have, he's basically like our translator. Right. So, because we don't speak code. So, you know, so you can basically So we tried that. When we tried that in the beginning, it was just coming out to where, you know, we're changing servers now. We've made mistakes, and, you know, now we're learning from them, and now we're building on something else. And, you know, it's just, it is a big headache, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, without him, we would never be able to do.
If anyone's listening and you want to create an app, hire a UX UI designer, the money for that, because we did it the best that we can and we're working with it. And our app wasn't super, super complicated, but the UX UI designer basically makes what it's going to look like for the user and make it user friendly. So you could have an amazing, amazing app, but if people, it's not intuitive and people don't know how to use it, and they're just not going to use it. They're not going to try to figure it out. You know, if you go on and do QuickBooks and it's super complicated and super crazy, you're just not going to do it. Whereas if you had an app that walked you through step by step, asked you questions, then you're more likely to continue using it. So the UX UI design is actually really, really important. And we had no idea how important that was in the beginning.
I think that's good advice. I was going to ask you guys for tips for people who are thinking about developing an app. But to speak on that, I'm just thinking about in casinos, I'm sure there's a lot of people from older generations as well that, you know, you guys already sort of touched on the fact that people are creatures of habit, right? They don't like to change the way things were done. There's always a resistance. There's, you know, you've talked about this many times before. There's the early adopters, there's whatever. And then there's
early adopters, the early majority, yes. The late majority. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think if you've got a bunch of clientele who are the late bloomers, you know, the older people that don't want to get on board with technology,
the laggards.
If it's not simple and user friendly, they're out. I'm not even that old, but I will tell you, if I download an app and there's 28,000 steps and I'm done. Mm. I'm out. I will just do things the old fashioned way. I need it to be pretty simple and laid out for me.
I like this. So your business has grown. You've got new therapists. I want to know what the hiring process is like. What are you guys looking for when someone is coming to you guys for a job as a therapist?
Yeah. So it's, let's see. How can I put this? You have to be a little bit outgoing and friendly. That's number one, because you're not in a dark room. I'm not giving you your clients. You have to go out and you have to find your clients. So you need to be personable. You need to be outgoing. If you're really, really shy and don't want to get out there, you're just not going to do well. And in the beginning, I kind of just hired everybody. I was like, anybody can do this. This is for all therapists. And that was not the case at all. And a lot of therapists literally had nervous breakdowns during their shifts because because you have to be out there. You know, you're just not going to make any money if you can't go drum up business yourself and be personable and all of that.
You're not saying massage. It's very, because you got to keep in mind also, especially in poker, most of the players are focused in the hand and they're focusing. They're not listening to anything around them. They're really focused on the hand. And that's why they never really heard anybody saying massage a lot of the time. So if you're not saying massage at all, it's very rare for a player to look up, you know, and see, there's a massage, you know, or, you know, because they're not going to get up out of their seat to go and look for one because they don't want to miss a hand.
Right.
That's how gamblers are. They don't want to miss anything. They don't want to get up. They'll just wait until one passes by. Could be hours, but they'll still wait.
Well, now that there's this super user-friendly app, they can keep their right. focus on the game and just get the therapist that they want to get. I love that.
So how hard is it or how easy is it in an interview to determine if someone is that has that right personality?
Honestly, I feel like hiring is guessing all the time. Yeah. We've been doing this for almost 2 years and it's still guessing. I'll hire someone and I'll be like, this person's going to be amazing. They used to be a bartender. They're going to be perfect for this. And then they just don't do it. And sometimes we'll have therapists that look really, really shy, but they give a really, really good massage and they're just motivated and they do fantastic.
Mm.
So hiring is a guessing game. You know, if someone, there's a few therapists that I'm just no, you're just not going to do well. I can already tell. But most of the time I'm I stopped trying to guess who can handle it and who can't. I just kind of hire who I think is going to do well and throw them in there and hope that they can, you know, do it. I also do a lot of training with them. I give them chair massage training because a lot of therapists are coming in and they haven't done consistent chair massage training and it's all chair massage.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these players, they want deep tissue massage. They don't go to massage therapists on a regular basis. They don't go to spas. So this is their massage therapy. So a lot of them want deeper pressure. And if you're a therapist and you don't have the physical strength to do deep pressure over clothes on your feet, you're probably not going to do too well either.
Mm. A lot of the interviews also, though, like if it's you're on an interview, most of the time they're going to be happy, very outgoing, you know, like that's just naturally how they're going to be. But yeah, on the first day of work, they're now a different person.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like they're not as happy and giddy as they were that first interview day, I'll tell you that.
We had someone on the couch years ago talking about, this is like way, way off, but you know, my brain makes silly connections sometimes, but talking about the amount of sexual assault cases that have happened here in Ontario, like it was just part of the discussion. And she was like, I feel like I want to put some blame on the schools letting these people in. Like, wouldn't they be red flags? I'm like, are you nuts? People, like nobody walks around and goes to a school interview and says, I'm a sexual predator. Like, no, everybody puts their best face forward in an interview. Right. And I understand what you guys are saying about being a guessing game. I've had to hire people before in the past, and I will have somebody come sit in front of me that just seems like a complete dud. And then they blow me away on the job. Or I have somebody come in that seems really great, has a great resume, and then they come to work and I'm like, wow, you're terrible. Mm. So yeah, interviewing is hard. You really have, I mean, the people coming in to interview with you guys though also need to be self-aware enough. Like if you are like, if Kelly is giving this information, telling people, you know, you need to be outgoing, you need to market yourself, you need to be, you know, somebody that's going to be able to drum up your own business, then they should also be aware enough if like that's something that they're good at, because it's not something that everybody's good at. Some people just need to work in like a spa where they're going to be fed clients, yep, because they don't know how to get busy. So I think, you know, the therapists need to really be considering, like, although casino massage sounds fun and exciting, am I really that person? Like, mm-hmm, should I be in a casino? And for a lot of people, the answer is no, which you guys already know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you mentioned TikTok earlier, because I love TikTok. I think it's the best social platform that we have right now. So I have a TikTok where I talk about casino massage and all that stuff. And now that my following's kind of grown, a lot of the therapists, I get a lot of therapists through TikTok that want to come work. And because they've watched all of my TikTok videos, they are so prepared for this environment and know what it is and they know what they're supposed to do. And that has made such a difference. Like the amount of time I put into training has been cut in half just because of your podcast, TikTok, Instagram, all of these things where they know what the deal is when they come in already, which is fantastic.
You're doing it right. That's one thing that we teach in like our marketing and branding courses, any of our digital marketing stuff. Mark always tells people, like, this is your chance to show the experience. Like, don't just stand there and talk like, this is what this muscle does and this is how you stretch it. Nobody cares. They want to actually understand the experience. So now people are seeing this is what casino massage really is. And you're obviously targeting the right people that are seeing it and saying, all right, I can see myself there. I can do that.
So give me three of the most common questions you get about casino massage.
Is it safe? That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, casinos are seen as these very seedy, like kind of underground places, which is completely the opposite. Because of that reputation, casinos are so on point. They are so safe. There are cameras everywhere. I do tell people though, especially therapists coming from spas, you know, if someone harasses you, absolutely stop the massage, come to me, come to Kobe, go to security if you need to, you know, we do not tolerate harassment at all. But on the other hand, these are a whole bunch of men and they're sitting at a table together playing cards. And sometimes the things that they talk to each other about can be offensive or triggering to, you know, a massage therapist's ears. And I kind of warn them about that. I'm like, look, if they're harassing you, we can do something. If they're harassing each other, there's not much we can do about that. Right. So you have to kind of be aware that that's the kind of space that you're in and be okay with that kind of stuff. Another question, let's see. Oh, which days are the best to work in a casino? And the answer is none. Like, all of them can be great. You could come in on a Sunday and the casino's dead and one guy gives you $1,000 tip. You know, you could come in on a Saturday and work your butt off and make $500. You need to just pick shifts that work for your schedule, come in, work the whole shift, and just make as much money as you can. There are no shifts that are better or worse. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's more people in the casino. Doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be more massages in the casino. It just depends who comes in, who's there.
Nah, man, the guy that's there on a Tuesday probably has lots of money because he can afford to just be there on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So usually the people on the weekend are the people that have worked all week and are now trying to make a little extra money on the weekends, you know, gambling. But yeah, the people that are there on a regular basis.
You need those Tuesday guys. Yeah.
Right. Totally.
Are the Tuesday guys, morning.
The people that are there during the day and, you know, they usually have the money to do it, you know, because they have a business making them money and they're blowing it here at the casino most likely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kelly, I cut you off. What's your third most common question?
What is the third most common question? Oh, can we give out our phone numbers to like drum up business for our, because a lot of the therapists that come to me, they rent a room or they work in a spa or they do mobile or whatever. And they wonder if they can turn our clients into their clients. So my policy is no, don't do that. Just because I don't know these people, I don't know who they are outside of this place. So I would just hate if something happened to a therapist because they went and, you know, did work with this person outside. I'm sure some of them do. And if they're, you know, and I just don't know about it and there's not much I can do about that, because they're not technically taking clients from us because, you know, those people are going to get massages in the casinos anyway. Yeah. But I do kind of warn them, like, try not to give out your personal contact information. You really shouldn't. That's why the app is amazing too, because in other casinos, you do give out your personal information because they're like, hey, if I'm back in the casino, can I text you to see if, you know, if you can give me a massage? And most therapists do that, especially with clients that are good tippers.
It always ends up being harassing.
It never ends up being good. I remember getting phone calls in the middle of the night and weird texts from people that are drinking too much and being weird and sending pictures that they shouldn't be sending.
Oh,
and
boy.
So, yeah. Like, you know, casino people are casino people.
It's just going to harass, you know, it never ends well. It never does.
So that's why the app is great, because they can only see you when you're there. They can only chat with you if they're booked with you. They can't get your number and harass you. So,
well, that's good. I mean, that kind of stuff can happen anywhere. We see it all the time in even the Canadian Facebook groups, people showing screenshots of just inappropriate calls and messages and stuff that they get. But I think it's a good policy to have. And like you said, you're not doing this to say, like, don't poach my clients, because they're not, because they'll get the massage in the casino no matter what, but just as a safety thing. And like you said, there are probably therapists that are doing it, but at that point you've kind of done your due diligence in telling them, like, this is not probably the best idea. Mm-hmm. I want to ask a question to Mark, actually. Kelly said that she's had Canadians reach out saying, how do I do this? And I was thinking, you know, as they're talking about this type of work, like, here in Ontario, with the amount of regulation we have surrounding, like, our record keeping and those kinds of things and all of our, like, privacy policies, et cetera, et cetera. Could you see something like this working well here in Ontario? And what sorts of things do you think we would have to have in place?
Well, how different would this be doing chair massage at an event?
Right.
Right. So it wouldn't be different in terms of whatever it is that you would be required to do an event. You'd probably be required to doing this on site at a casino.
So hectic and crazy, how do you see this working in terms of therapists, like, doing their proper, like, note taking and, like, collecting patient health information?
Anytime you're providing care to somebody, you should have a health history form that's been filled out. You should have some sort of documented consent, and then you should be doing some sort of post-treatment documentation. This is where an app like this would be perfect.
That's what
right?
I was thinking. Like, the app.
So
could
in that
have
scenario,
that
the app would have the client consent form that they sign right onto the app. The app would have a health history form that's already uploaded, where someone checks off the boxes of all the conditions that they might have and everything else. This is how you would circumvent the whole idea of what you would need to do. And then right on the app, if it was possible, then you would also just do your charting. So it's kind of like you can always go into that particular client's file and all their information is there.
Yep.
And that way, anytime they just kind of, hey, I'm going to just book a treatment next time I'm in the hotel, it's already there. That's the only way to go around it.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're doing it yourself and that just eats a lot of time.
Yeah. So I used to do chair massage at events or, like, employee appreciation days.
But not a lot of people do them at events.
So I know when I used to go to like employee appreciation days, I had sort of a very generic form that had like a consent where they had to give me their name, their contact information and sign. And then there was some very generic questions that I had for everybody just to make sure I covered like that, you know, their health history in terms of like there was no serious like medical conditions or injuries that I need to be aware of. Like it was a very quick thing, but I did it. Even if there was only a 10-minute chair massage, I was getting this information for everybody. And then still at the end of it, I'd write like a quick little soap notes. Like it was very, very quick, literally just like subjective, objective, what I did in the 10 minutes and whatever. But I was doing that at all of these events because technically I'm still working as a registered massage therapist, and that's still standard.
Providing service to patients.
Yeah.
The way I would see it, at the end of the day, it really isn't your responsibility as the company. It's the therapist's responsibility. So if they're failing to do so, whether they're encouraged to not do it or not encouraged to do it, whatever the case is, the bottom line is whoever the governing body is, they don't go after the employer.
No,
they go
after the therapist.
Is that you're not upkeeping whatever standards you have to upkeep. So something to think about then in those types of scenarios might be, hey, here's a list of general contraindications and then check off the box that you've informed the therapist of any contraindications or any major health concerns.
I remember doing an event where it was so many years ago, but that's essentially what I had, which was, it was basically like a checkbox. Like I've let my therapist know if I have any major like health issues or contraindications, and they just had to say like, yep, all good, and sign. So that was like, okay, I'm good to go with this 10-minute treatment.
That's something, as a couple points in the terms and conditions say that I've informed the massage therapist of any health conditions that any preconditions that I have or current conditions that I have, and the therapist has been made aware. And you know, whether they read the terms and conditions or not, that's not on you at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be something for any Canadians that are thinking about starting something like this. Yeah, like thinking about, I like that idea, putting it in like the terms and conditions, just making sure that you're putting the onus back on the patient that, yeah, I want to get my 10, 20, 30. I don't know. I think the last time Kelly was on, she said she massaged someone for like hours.
13 so, hours or something.
Something ridiculous. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I don't even know how you would do that physically. I don't know.
Yeah, we just had one therapist a couple weeks ago. She just did 6 hours on one guy.
Oh my goodness. Did she get a good tip?
Yeah,
she did all right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we do it. Sometimes though, I mean, we had one therapist did 6 hours on some guy and he didn't tip her.
Like nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah. So, it happened a couple of times.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a gamble.
That's why you're in the casino.
I imagine it's the way it is with everything. Sometimes you just gotta roll with the dice. There's ebbs and flows to all of it. Some days you'll go in and you'll make killer dough and you'll do minimal work, and some days you'll go in and work your ass off and you'll make the minimum amount. So,
and it should all balance out. When you are a self-employed person, whether you're a contractor doing the casino massage, or you're like the entrepreneurs like you guys, you know, we're the same. We've got contractors that teach classes here, and we tell all of the instructors, like,
one thing about our company
and the reason that people trust us and keep coming back to us is if you sign up for a class here, unless there's like an extreme situation where like a therapist is really, really sick, or the instructor's really, really sick, if you sign up for a class here,
it's
even if you're
delivered.
The only person that signed up, you're getting your class.
Yep.
And we're one of the few continuing education providers that does that. But because the way we look at it is, you know, today I might only have 3 people.
And the next time you
might
have 40.
I've got 24 people. Like, right? it's all going to balance out. So we run the class no matter what. And the instructors understand that sometimes you're going to make a killing coming in and teaching a class, and sometimes not so much. But at the end of the year, you can look at what you made, and it equals out to be pretty sweet for a day of teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the risk you take with being a contractor. You know, you're just not getting an hourly wage. And I feel like I'm very, because I've worked in this industry for so long, and I've worked for companies that are really tough on contractors to produce. I'm really easy on them. I'm like, look, I know you guys don't want to come in here and walk around all day and not make any money. I'm also not paying you to be here. So if you come in for 5 hours and you've made $20, like, go home. Mm-hmm. Like, you're allowed to go home. Now, sometimes you'll be there for 5 hours, you won't make any money. And then the last 2 hours of your shift, you make a killing, and you would not have if you would have left.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're a contractor. I don't pay you to be here. And I want you to be comfortable and happy doing this and not feel like you have to stay here for free.
You have to be motivated.
Yeah.
So with that, do you have a lot of therapists that are like, okay, you know what? I regardless of what's happening, because I understand the setup, I'm staying my whole shift no matter what's going on. Like generally, I would imagine after this type of conversation, that person is like, you know what? I'm working my whole shift regardless.
Yeah. In the beginning, it wasn't like that. In the beginning, I had a lot of really hard time getting therapists to stay their whole shifts. And also because I was very lax about it, I was like, okay, like I'll just cover. And I was just working all the time covering shifts of therapists that were just leaving. But now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, we would like for you to stay your whole shift. And it's for your benefit, because a lot of times the good stuff comes at the end, later in the night, even, you know? And so I've had therapists that have done that. And then they come up to me and they're like, oh my God, you were right. Like I didn't make any money. And then at the last minute, I made $400. And I'm like, yeah. And so they're like, I will stay my shift now, because it's true. Like, I'm not trying to keep you there because it looks good for me. I'm trying to keep you there because I want you to make money and enjoy yourself and make it worth it for you.
Do other companies, if you know, do other companies have a quota for their therapists?
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yes. And I don't, sometimes you just can't. Yeah, I don't think if it's not illegal, it's definitely unethical. And there are definitely companies where therapists will use their tip money to hit that number so that they can go home.
Right.
And which that's, is terrible. Yeah, that's just extra stress. And like you said, you want the therapist to get a benefit. You want them to be happy because if you're somebody like Holly, for example, you had Holly on with you the last time. If you're somebody who's been doing it for a long time, and especially at a, you know, very specific casino, then the high rollers get to know you and they'll start booking more with you. And then your shifts become a lot easier. I know when I first became a massage therapist, the first clinic that I ever rented space at as a contractor, even when I didn't have clients booked, I was tending to hang out there sort of around the reception desk. I just wanted to meet every patient coming into the clinic. Oh, you're here to see the chiropractor? Well, I want to meet you, right? So I would spend hours there just hanging out. I would just sit on the couch. They had a couch just like this in their waiting room. And I would just hang out there. And everybody that came in, I am outgoing. I'll talk to people in the grocery store lineup. So I would talk to every single person that came in. And that's how I managed to get as busy as I was, because people just saw me there constantly.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, because even in the casino, you can go sit in the break room. You know, there's no scheduled breaks. You take breaks whenever you want. So if you want to go hang out in the break room for 2 hours, like you can do that. But if they don't see you, if it's better if you just take a break, like on the poker floor, like you don't have to work, just sit there and then you'll get work because they'll see you there. If they don't see you, they don't think about it. Right. You know, they don't think about massage. Yeah. So
visible.
Thankfully now we have a really, really good team that I think because of all the education and I've gotten better at training and getting them to understand, because when you've been doing it for 15 years, you just think like you should already know, but it's such a different environment. I really had to come back and be like, okay, if I was a new therapist just starting this, like what would I need to know? So now we have a really great team that really is on board with what we do and knows how to make the most amount of money in the time that they have. So that's been really, really nice to kind of see happen.
How many therapists you got going?
Oh, how many do we have? I mean, it fluctuates because during like World Series of Poker tournaments and stuff, we'll have like 30.
Wait, 21 to 25 we'll have during the WSOP. And then on a regular basis, we have probably around 15.
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought you guys possibly had like an employee list on the wall behind your computer, because you guys both, your eyes shifted the exact same way. Do you? You both shifted your eyes in the exact same direction. Like they're reading something. They're reading something behind their screen.
Yeah, we have our WSOP therapists. We always, because there's so many, we have therapists that literally travel from Vegas, from Gainesville, from Tampa, from New Orleans or wherever they are, you know, and they come and, you know, it's a lot because a lot of them are either on their first day or, you know, they're just starting out with us. So we have to check mark and make sure everybody's got their stuff. And we have a list because we just had it in October.
Yeah. Yeah. We have therapists that come from Gainesville, which is about 5 hours away, like every other week to work for us because they just can't make this kind of money where they are. Mm. And they'll even stay like in our house with us, you know, and that's been a weird thing for me coming from being a massage therapist and then stepping into an ownership role is how do I interact with my contractors? Because I feel like we're colleagues and I'm like, yeah, if you want, you know, come, don't spend money on Airbnb, like just come stay at my house. And it's worked out perfectly so far, but sometimes sometimes I wonder, like, is this like professional? Is this what I should be doing?
Listen, you know? the way I look at it, though, you guys are colleagues, right? Like, you were them, you understand them. And I mean, yes, of course, you have to know your own boundaries and decide what they are. But I don't see anything wrong with you being friendly with your contractors, as long as, you know, they don't look at that friendship as I can take advantage of you and I can, you know, not follow like company guidelines and things like that. But mm-hmm. I think part of the reason you're going to be successful in keeping therapists and having a company that doesn't have high turnover and has a really great team is the fact that you understand exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done it already. So they probably look at you as like, I know the best places I've ever worked, honestly, were, I've said this a million times, were massage therapist owned. I mean, yeah. I, you know, no hate to any other clinic owners or chiros or physios, but the places that I've been at where the owner was a massage therapist and really understood like the pay structure and what our job actually entails. Like, I know I've told this story. I had a chiropractor once say to me, like, massage therapists are so lazy, as she was asking me to book a seventh massage with taking away my lunch break mm-hmm. on one of my shifts. Like, she was like, oh, you have a gap here. Can I put someone? I'm like,
oh, you want to eat? You lazy.
I'm like, that's my lunch break. And she literally was like, massage therapists are so lazy. No wonder they can't make money. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, you know, fuck wow. nutrition. Like, I don't need food. Just keep going. So, yeah, I don't see it as a big deal, as long as, you know, you're keeping some sort of boundary where they know they can't just, oh, we're friends, so I can take advantage right. of her kindness, right?
And vice versa, where you're staying in my house, so you have to work 12 hours. You know, it kind of goes both ways, and yeah. keeping like kind of the friendship and the business separated, so that, you know, we're both on the same team. And it's like I said, it's worked out so far. It's just kind of a weird situation for a business owner to be in. And it's honestly, it's been really interesting seeing Kobe in this role, because he's always worked in very male dominated. I mean, most poker dealers are male, most supervisors are male, most casino executives are male. So coming now and now, you know, having a team of, you know, 99% females, it's been really interesting seeing him kind of interact with them. And
his face already looks uncomfortable. He's like, yep, yep.
He's like, I gotta curb the locker room talk. God damn it.
Yeah. I'm like, don't call them girls. We need to call them therapists, because we always called massage girls. You know, that's kind of how we're referred
oh,
to.
Now I'm understanding. When you slipped up earlier and said girls, you should have seen the look he gave you. I don't know if you noticed behind you. He's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, Kelly? Yeah.
Because I told him not to say girls. And now I slipped up. Because it is infantile. Like, we are women, we're not girls, and we're yep. therapists, we're not girls. But because I've been called that my whole career, I slip up all the time and I say girls. And also, we would hire men too, so it's not just girls. So
therapists.
You know,
therapists.
Yeah.
So what's the end game? What's the exit strategy? Do we have one? We must. You guys are business folk. Everyone's kind of got their end game. What's it looking like?
Well, for we want to. I mean, we want to get more casinos, and we're in negotiations with a few right now, and we have one contract pending with another one. And you know, eventually, I think also we should white label the app out. In other words, have somebody else, if they want to use our technology. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, also, we're not, you know, we don't have anything proprietary. It's a booking app. Right. You know, it's nothing, there's nothing special here. We just designed it and catered it to massage therapists within a casino. You know, so, you know, we want to get, you know, a few more casinos under our belt. And look, if somebody wants to buy us out eventually, if you're, you know, 10 million, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. See, I'm the other way.
I'm not attached to this. I'm the end game is to make a lot of money and be able to do whatever I want every day. Mm. Just like you said, that's my end goal, right? That's the end game. That's the ultimate dream. Get up, do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah. Well, he actually said it was do nothing.
For me, I kind of want to take it a different way. I would like to grow it to the point where we can take massage therapists that have been part of our team, move them into executive roles, give them profit sharing and benefits and 401ks and all of these things that spas and clinics don't really provide here in the US. I don't know how it is over there, but mm-hmm. no massage therapists really work 40 hours a week. So they don't get 401ks. They don't get retirement. You know, once their hands kind of give out, they kind of have to switch careers, right. You know, unless they're able to build a business where they don't need to rely on their hands, which is really difficult.
Yeah, what's the end game on a massage therapy?
Yeah, end game for a massage therapist?
There is none. You, if you're really, really good, you have no end game. You're stuck in there until your hands give out. Because you can't, unless you open a massage school or a massage place and every therapist now does a massage like you, otherwise she's not getting the clients. You know what I mean? So there, for massage therapists, I think it's a hard end. It's a harder end game.
Yeah. So like I said, I would like to move massage therapists into executive roles, supervisory roles, and kind of move them up like a regular corporation where they don't have to massage. They're still making great money. And then we can kind of step back and let real massage therapists continue to run the business. Because for me, helping massage therapists make more money, helping massage therapists be happier at work where they can work less hours for more money and hopefully get a 401k, get their retirement together. That's my overall goal. So I just want to help the community of massage therapists. So
we can do both.
We can sell it. But that's the thing, if we sell it, who are we going to sell it to? Probably not a massage therapist. So that's
not for $10 million.
Yeah, exactly. And that therapist that person is going to run it differently than we do. And maybe not take, and it'll just become one of the other companies. Mm. You know, yeah. So it's tough. If someone offered us $10 million, I don't know what we would do, but
we train them our ways.
Yeah, we were trying.
I love how she's like, I don't know, if someone offered us $10 million. Come on, Kelly, you know, you're selling that shit. Come on.
I would feel bad for a therapist, though.
You could feel bad from your yacht. Relax. You'll be fine. Okay, this is
between me and Kobe right there.
There you go. I gotta mention this because Kobe was a poker dealer. How long were you a poker dealer?
About 15 years almost.
So last week we had a card mechanic on our podcast. How you feel about those guys?
I used to be really good. I mean, I wasn't a mechanic, but, you know, I was really good with my hands. I was really fast and I did some cool tricks, but not mechanic style. I wasn't that good.
Yeah, we had an illusionist on and he, I don't know, Kelly may have seen it. Mark put out a clip the other day. We had an illusionist on who is banned from casinos because, you know, you guys know who he is.
Sounds about right. Yeah, Kobe actually traveled all over Europe as a poker dealer and Asia. You know, he traveled. There's a whole community of nomadic poker dealers that just go from tournament to tournament in all of the countries in Europe, just travel together, party together, make money together. Yeah. And it's a beautiful, beautiful community, honestly. Yeah.
Kelly wrote a blog on her
post about them. Yeah. It's just fascinating. We would be sitting in the Bahamas with them in a hot tub. I called it DNA soup because it's just, there's people from every single country you could imagine, like countries everywhere that you've never heard of, like just insane. And they're all speaking English, but all with like very different dialects and language barrier problems. But they all have poker and casino in common.
Oh man, it was so much fun. I mean, we dealt in Ireland and Norway. I was in Philippines, Thailand, Hong Kong, Macau. I mean, I've been all over. I mean, the ones with the Europeans, they're coming to stay with us in next week. Yeah. We have a couple from the UK that come. We're still in touch. We're still, you know, we see them all the time. And when they come down here or they go to the Bahamas, like there's an event coming up in the Bahamas that they're going to work. So they come stay with us for a little bit. We have some fun and then they go and do their work.
Yeah.
But when we did it, I mean, all we did was we'd work 14, 15 hours, drink for another 6 hours and then go back to work. It's crazy.
Sounds super cool.
Me and Kobe actually moved to Norway about 6 months into our relationship.
Yeah.
And work in a poker room over there. And then it turns out that poker is not legal in Norway. And the poker club was raided while Kobe was in there pooping.
Stop it.
It was really crazy.
I thought I had heard it all with DNA soup, and now here we are.
Apparently, from what I understood, it was going on for years, and there was, you know, an understanding between the police, and they, you know, everything was fine. But I guess what they were doing was not legal. And while I was taking a shit, I get banging on my door, and I don't know what the hell's going on. I open the door, and there's just cops with flashlights, and they're screaming at me in Norwegian. And I'm like, "Look, man, I don't know what you're saying." He's like, "Oh no, we're not here for you. We're just here for the people that work here." And luckily, I was off my shift. All I had to do was take a shit and go home. But you know, luckily, if I was dealing, man, I don't know. I might have been in a Norwegian prison right now.
Probably not the worst prison to end up in. Still not.
You know, but I also would have came out with like a woodworking degree too, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's
funny. Yeah. So then we had to flee the country.
So then we left. Yeah. and we started all over again, living at my grandmother's.
That's fucking awesome. That's like the beginning of a Tarantino movie.
I was going to say, you two probably could write a movie, man. We started off with like a little bit of a rom-com.
I want to write an Office-style mockumentary about the casino. Or I want to have like a casino people podcast. Like, these people are just the most interesting people you'll ever meet. You'll have millionaires sitting next to, you know, homeless people. You'll have people that have crazy lives, crazy businesses. I mean, it's
a lot of crazy
stories. People are fascinating.
I think eventually you should do that. I'm telling you, the most fun I ever have at work are days when I'm podcasting with people, because even like the stuff you guys just told me, we started out like, okay, here's this couple that has an app to do a casino massage, and suddenly you're in Norway taking a shit and there's cops banging down your door. Like, the stuff that people have been through in their lives that you're like, what? Like, I literally, actually, didn't that just remind you of when we had Ken on last week, the card mechanic? He's telling the story of like when he got brought into like the OPP, that's our Ontario Provincial Police, their like main office, which was in the back of Casinorama, because they knew who he was and there was something in his bag. And anyway, he's telling us this story and I'm going, what? And like, as you guys are talking, I'm doing this too. And I'm thinking, like, people have the most interesting stories. I love hearing the shit that people go through in their lives. Like, it's just nuts. I think you should absolutely do a podcast with casino people.
Yeah, some guy at the casino tried to sell me an owl the other day. And I was like, what's this guy's story? Like, what is this guy done?
A wooden owl.
But like, he had it in his bat, like a giant owl for like keeping seagulls off your car. And he's like, how much would you pay for this? And I'm like, I
wouldn't pay for that, but
so, like, what's that guy's backstory?
He needs money to bet on the horses.
He needs money and he found that wooden owl in a dumpster on the way in. That's what his story is. So before we let you guys go, my last thing will be, you know, now that you're a couple years in, you're seeing the business get going, you know, we kind of know your exit strategy. You two maybe just need to work some kinks out there. But for the next couple of years, at least, what is your immediate plan? Is the immediate plan now to try to get into more and more casinos?
More and more casinos. I mean, we're actually going to be, we got accepted to be on an entrepreneur show also, actually, coming up in February called The Blocks.
Nice.
It's going to be on Prime Video. And we're looking forward to that. And, you know, they said, maybe, who knows, maybe I'll get an investor and we can expand a lot faster and get to that 10 million or get to the therapist. Well, one of them, you know.
Yeah, definitely the goal is to get more casinos, improve the lives of therapists in those casinos. Yeah, and maybe one day white label the app and let other companies use it. You know, that would be nice as well, just some extra passive income.
I like it. Well, before we go then, can you once again, Kelly or Kobe, either one of you, give us all of your contact info, website, socials, anything where people can find you?
Our website is winninghandsapp.com. We have a ton of FAQ questions that I get from therapists on there. We have everything about how it works on there. My TikTok channel where I tell stories about casino stuff is Casino Massage Kelly. Also on Instagram, Winning Hands LLC is our Instagram handle, and on Facebook as well.
You know, I'm going straight to TikTok, right? I'm going straight to TikTok and I'm going to look for Casino Massage Kelly as soon as we're off.
Yeah. Also LinkedIn. If there's any casino executives listening, hit me up on LinkedIn. We would love to help you make free money.
Yeah.
It's my favorite kind of money.
There you go.
Maybe get us an interview with one of the casinos over there. We'll fly over there. That'd be great.
All right, Canada. You ready for it?
I know. This was good, guys. This was good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Right on. You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. Peace.